I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
It's just like wrong.
Oh, fine.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Justin Coffin here. Dave Ennett, Mary Sandberg Boyle. We got Joey Romano, Pete Zimmerman, Steve Grzanich. The whole gang is here. Pam Jones as well. Always good to see Pam. Justin Coffin, like I said, it is a Steve Cochran Show. We are high atop. I feel like we can steal that from the tip top. High atop the clouds in the city of Chicago right now in our beautiful Skyline studio on the 18th floor at 303 East Wacker. Ready to give you a great show this morning as you commute in this fog and hope that you avoid the rain. We got a big show coming up here. I'm very excited to talk a little golf and also to have Father Tom Hurley from Old St. Pat's Church in studio. Awesome to have him here. Mary, that church means a lot to me and my family because that's where my son was baptized.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I've been to quite a few weddings there. It means a lot to me because I've been to the block party quite a bit.
Right.
I think they boast it as the best singles place. Like, they have the most marriages that come out of that block party than any other block party in the country.
That's amazing to think about. The oldest church, one of the oldest, if not the oldest church in Chicago, is a place where their block party will give you the most singles.
Yeah, and then most hookups, I think.
I wonder what Father Hurley thinks about that. Dave Ennett, last night, I think the news right now, there's so much news going on around the world, around the country. We talk about separating families. We'll talk about that later. But, of course, locally, it has to be last night that the Cubs were rained out. Not just rained out, but everyone knew these huge rainstorms were coming through, and yet everyone sat in the seats waiting for maybe a game to happen. How does this usually go down, Dave?
Well, I mean, they were waiting because the forecast said the rain was coming, but then the rain didn't materialize when they expected it to. Although, I have to tell you, I was on a golf course, and you could see it coming, but then driving back, it was kind of hit or miss. And I guess there was this one area where the rain took a while to get there. And so people are sitting there and hoping, and they start to take the tarp off. And then they had a power outage on top of that and some of the lights in right field. It's a very as exact a science as meteorology has become. Yeah. It's still, when it comes to deciding whether to play baseball or not, it can be rather inexact.
I guess that's the point to me, is that you have all of this advanced technology. It feels like the baseball meteorologists are way ahead of everybody else. They know when rain is coming through. So it should be no surprise, and it should be a no-brainer that if rain is coming through and you know it's going to be in an extended period of time, the game is called. The idea, you start to think conspiracy theories are nefarious, like they just want you to buy beer by having people sit there when there's no rain there, when people are sitting in your seat. That you're there.
I heard Kevin Powell ask Tom Skilling on Roe Show yesterday, so how is this going to affect the game? Because he was going to cover it. And Tom said, it's going to affect it. It's going to affect it big time. So I think Tom Skilling knew. But
oh, yeah. Meteorologists know. I mean, yesterday afternoon when I left here, I knew that it was going to be a bad afternoon with rain.
So why not call the game? Why have fans sit there with no rain, sitting there? Is just nacho sales?
You're right. I think that's part of it, man. It has to be, right?
That's ridiculous. No, that makes me angry.
So do they get to come back again today?
Yeah. It's a split doubleheader today.
Gosh. That's so hard to do with kids and everything.
There are some other considerations. Once you start the game, then the game's in the hands of the umpires. You don't necessarily, now granted it was Tyler Chatwood pitching for the Cubs, it's not your number one starter, but still, you know, you've got a bullpen that has suffered an injury now. A guy went on the DL yesterday. You don't want to waste your starting pitcher once you throw him out there. You might not be able to bring him back after a delay.
That's all about the game. That's no consideration for the fans.
That is part of it too. Yeah. I mean that factors into these decisions, and the other thing is just the reality of it that the Dodgers come to town once. They have 3 days to play three games.
Right, you're right there. I think that might be the bigger issue. They know they can't have a bunch of stops and starts because they have to get these games.
Well, Engineer Ben was there last night, so you might want to pull him in and talk to him about this. But he said that he asked about coming. He said, "What if I can't come back today for the game because I'm working? You're SOL.
You're
when
it.
that." And that's another thing. People plan to go to a game. They've had these tickets for 5 months. They've brought grandma and grandpa into town to go to the game, and now they're there, and you're going to send them home, and it's not raining.
And you promised grandma and grandpa that helmet Sunday, and they got to get that helmet Sunday.
They got to get that and the Mai Tai. So, there's a lot riding on it.
Is there a curfew that they won't start it after? Like, they called it at 10 last night.
Yeah, there is, but that would not have been a curfew situation. Okay.
I was going to say, maybe no curfew. Maybe they just don't have any sound. So if it's after 10 o'clock in the Wrigleyville neighborhood, then you can't do the little walk-up sign. Warm it up, Chris. They can't do that. You can't play.
Can you hear a little more of that?
Yeah, yeah. Warm it up. I actually do that song for Chris Bryant when he comes up. It's not Chris Cross. He couldn't get the rights.
Can you do Taylor Swift, Bad Blood? Because Rizzo uses that.
Now we got Bad Blood. See?
There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
All that stuff is...
I never knew that was you.
I do that because they can't get the rights from the actual musicians. So... Okay. All right. Coming up, Steve Cochran is here. We are ready to do the show, the Top 6 at 6, coming up.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
A couple of sports stories to start off with, then we'll get to the ugliness. The soon-to-be wife, not yet married, to Dustin Johnson, Paulina Gretzky and her friend celebrated Dustin Johnson's second U.S. Open win on Sunday. While Brooks Koepka was winning the U.S. Open, they were confused. The girls got together, and a putt was made by Dustin Johnson, about 15 feet, a birdie putt on the 18th. And some of Paulina's friends went, "Dustin won!" And then he jumped up and down, and they celebrated. They were standing next to Brooks Koepka's dad.
Ah.
And Brooks Koepka's friend of his dad turned around and said, no. Brooks won. And then he tapped in his bogey putt to end the U.S. Open. Yeah. So apparently the girls weren't paying that much attention.
She has since posted on her Instagram story a picture of Jenna Sims, which is Brooks' girlfriend, and Brooks, and congratulating them because they're friends. They always hang out
together. They're best friends.
Yeah, so.
I just found it adorable that they were paying no attention to the end of the golf tournament.
I have to say, as someone who has not paid attention to much
golf. Any golf whatsoever?
Well, I've joined the show in the last week. There's so much drama in this sport.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I'm in.
It's the best reality show out there. And Paulina also did an Instagram story yesterday. Dustin did a backflip off of a boat. So,
well, that seems like a wise
move.
They
use social media well, too.
Yeah, what could go wrong? Yeah.
This is a guy who allegedly hurt himself and lost half a season because he was moving a jet ski in his garage.
Yeah.
This is the best sport ever. What's happening?
What about the morning of the Masters or the U.S. Open? Masters, wasn't it? When he slipped on a step in the house he was renting?
Are you thinking of that? What are you thinking when President Clinton broke his ankle when Greg Norman and he were trying to leave the guest house in a hurry?
Because
the TV was on and they wanted to watch something, not because they were trying to hide somebody who may have been in the guest house at the time.
Yeah, I need to know more about this sport. Pronto.
Suddenly he's interested.
Pronto, I'm interested now.
Sister item from sports anyway. Barry Trotz wins the Stanley Cup and now is no longer the coach of the Washington Capitals. Let's go live to D.C. Dave, this is your hometown. Good to see you.
It is my hometown.
Good to see you there in Landover, where you're standing outside.
Yeah, they don't play in Landover anymore. No, they play in downtown Washington. But, Barry Trotz resigned after... He was unable to agree on a contract because basically, compared to the top coaches in the National Hockey League, including Joel Quenneville, he was not paid at the same level and felt that he might as well take advantage. He's been at this for a long time, finally got his first Stanley Cup, and now he wants to get paid.
I was surprised at his salary. Now, compared to what regular, good, hardworking people who listen to this show right now make, it's a whole lot of money.
Yes.
But if you were making 1/6 of the salary of the top person in your field, and you just won the championship of your field, whatever that means, you deserve more money.
And now he was going from 1/6 to, I believe, 1/3.
No, he didn't get that much. He got a $300,000 bonus. $300,000 bonus for winning the cup. Would take him from $1 million to $1.3 million. And the Q's making six. And who's coaching the Leafs?
Babcock.
Oh, Babcock's making the most.
But
he's
they said that his bump, there was an automatic trigger to take him. I mean, it's not that much more, but slightly over $2 million.
Well, I didn't hear
relative.
Two. I heard 1.3, but regardless.
Regardless, yeah.
So well below the...
Is he automatically get picked up somewhere else? Do they just go, oh, some mid-level team go, bounce, this guy won the Stanley Cup, let's pay this guy $5 million?
I think they're calling that a Renteria in hockey, where you're minding your own business, and then somebody comes in, mm-hmm. and Joe Madden suddenly available. Yeah. He'll get hired, but it's not an automatic. Yeah. So... but for all the years he was in Nashville, and he had a lot of success in Nashville, I was surprised that he wasn't making more money in Washington.
Yeah, I was too. But
and
again,
you know, he's a guy, how old is he? 65-ish, probably?
I would think he's early 60s.
Yeah, so you get to a certain point, you go, look, I got plenty of money, but before I leave the game, I'd like to make this.
And, I mean, they obviously won the Stanley Cup, so they're the best in the league, but mm-hmm. did the team have a problem with him? Was there a lot of static?
Hold on. Super Dad just told me in my headphones that Barry Trotz is 55?
55.
He looks older than I do.
Yeah, he looks older.
Hockey is stressful.
I'm 57, and I look older than I do. So at any rate, Barry Trotz is available if you're looking to pick up a coach.
Right.
And I'd say the first person to say he deserves more money would be Q.
No question.
Step up say it today. Next.
Reporting live from Washington.
Oh, that's right. Do your big out. I forgot.
Dave Bennett, WGN Sports.
Hot mess in Washington this morning. Big surprise there. But let's start overseas with Kim Jong-un, who's made his third trip to China since March. This guy wouldn't leave the palace unless he went going out to a parade or going out to his balcony.
Frequent
now you can't
miles,
stop
yeah.
him from traveling.
He just realized that if he uses the North Korean credit card, he gets extra miles. He gets a mile and a half for each trip. So he's
you know where he's going to be this weekend? Branson. He's going to Branson, Missouri, just to see some stuff. Kim Jong-un, the traveler. China, by the way, is quite pleased that the president, our president, said we're going to knock off these military drills because they're, quote, too expensive. So China's kind of a secondary winner in this. Kim Jong-un, the big winner, at least so far. One related story is this horrific audio tape and continued pictures of kids crying as they're being separated from their parents. Again, a Trump policy. It does not have to happen. In an explanation of the same, the Democrats way overreach when they start comparing it to Nazi Germany. Anytime you want to throw the Nazis into a conversation, you're going to lose because there is no comparison.
It's amazing to me how this has become a touch point, a flashpoint for American politics right now because, you know, Trump has been one of these presidents who's been so controversial that you kind of, you know, your head starts to spin a little bit each day. And
every day so far.
Story, you're like, okay, this one seems to have stuck on both sides of the aisle.
It's crying
as
kids.
Becomes an issue.
It's little kids.
The
it's little crying
audio
kids.
Piece, I believe it was in Washington, I forgot who had it. The audio
ProPublica.
Piece. ProPublica had it. And it's startling. And it's also really interesting to just listen to it without any photos on top of it. To just listen to it, it goes to the power of audio. And it really lets your mind want, you know.
It's little kids sort of crying for their mothers
happening.
And fathers as they're being torn away from their mothers and fathers. By the way, Jeff Sessions said it's not Nazi Germany because obviously we all know in Nazi Germany they were trying to keep the Jews from leaving. Now, this is akin to when Spicy Spicerman, the former press secretary for the president, made a few of his wild comments that were historically inaccurate. You could find some that maybe didn't want to leave and were being held. I think all the Jews would have left Germany if they were allowed to leave because that was not the point of the concentration camps. And Jeff Sessions should not talk. He just should not talk.
I just wonder in 2018 if really zero tolerance policies in government is a good idea.
No,
that's the issue to me. It's just if you're going to go to a zero tolerance policy for immigration or any topic,
there's zero tolerance in life.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. So that's
life is a gray area.
Right away, I think the trying to make this a black and white issue when there's so much gray, you can't win.
Next. There could be murderers and thieves and so much else, Trump says, of people crossing the border. We want a safe country, and it starts at the borders. That's just the way it is. It tells you something about Trump a couple days after Father's Day. Next. Former federal prosecutor Maggie Hickey has been named to conduct a review of operations at the House of Representatives of the state of Illinois after a series of sexual harassment and bullying allegations were lodged against top aides of Mike Madigan. Again, until everyone on the Democrat side in the House stands up against Mike Madigan, Mike Madigan's not going anywhere.
Next, stand up against what?
He's the leader. He's
yeah,
the
but what
leader
are they standing up against? I mean, I
stand up and say the guy. Well, you're not letting me answer the question. The three people under his watch have been accused of being people who have engaged in bullying for the sake of work or, in fact, sexual harassment. You're in charge.
Right.
It stops on your desk.
But he's done the steps to...
No, he hasn't.
All right, well, I think he has. I mean, I agree that there should be an independent. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know if every lawmaker in the Democratic Party
what
has stand
he done
up to
him. What has he done?
Well, he said that he is audited. He's gotten rid of those people. They've been fired. He's also said that he's gone through the case file. A lot of those, the Ken Duncan one specifically, they already released all that stuff. They released all the stuff they had on everybody back in January or February. My point is that, I agree that there needs to be changes. I'm not sure that it has to be so snap your fingers, this guy's got to go.
This isn't snap your fingers. The guy's been in charge for 40 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in 40 years, if you don't have control over your caucus and your leadership in 40 years, and in the Me Too generation, the Me Too moment, though it's obviously more than a moment, women are being abused on your watch, you're out.
If you can prove that the speaker was covering it up or did not take the issue seriously,
He may have been covering it up. But even if he
was, then yeah, he should
even
go.
If he wasn't covering up, it's on his watch. If he doesn't know that three of his leaders, including his chief of staff, are engaged in this kind of behavior, when it's Springfield, Illinois. This is a small town. Talk happens. Are you telling me Madigan didn't have any knowledge of this? That's insane.
Yeah. I'm sure he had knowledge of it. The question is what he did with the knowledge.
You know what? You're out as well.
All right.
And one more. This is a terrible story, too. 56 people were hit by gunfire in Chicago over the weekend. Worst weekend for violence in the city this year. More troubling, close to comparable weekends in 16 and 17, when gun violence hit levels not seen in more than a decade. It's long since passed that we said warm weather doesn't bring out the worst in gangs, because it does. And that's exactly what we're looking at now. And there is no easy answer, but the search for an answer has to continue and be sped up and all of those
things. And here comes the 4th of July, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah, celebrate by shooting someone. And again, these are kids. These are 14 and 15-year-olds trying to make a gang in most cases. All right, 6:31, coming up on this program today. Oh, we got so much, I can barely get it in. Kid of the Week in just a few minutes with a great young kid that you're going to meet. Obviously, a young kid is better than an old kid. We want to talk about these new studios we're sitting in because the chief engineer that put this together with his team and plugged everything in the right place, I think he deserves some credit. So we'll talk to that and find out what he's really hidden from us. That's all coming up amongst the stuff on the show today. 6:32 now. Headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
All right, Kid of the Week time in the Allstate Skyline studio, and happy to welcome our first Kid of the Week for this new studio facility. Pretty remarkable kid named Aaron Hanania. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We got a new studio going on here. Can you tell?
It's pretty cool.
Well, that's nice of you. I hope you get a chance to see it sometime. Do you make it down to the city very often?
Yeah, I like to go down there. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful city. I love living out here.
You think you'll make your life here? What's your thought? You think you'll settle after school, whatever school turns out to be for you?
I might. I don't know if I want it. I might stay here. I just don't know what I want to do yet, so I'm not quite sure where I'm going to locate to yet. But I'm trying to stay here in Chicago.
Yeah, all your family's here. Obviously, 17. Are you a senior?
Yeah, I just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
Congratulations.
When do you start applying to college?
I think in like January is when you start looking.
Now, being a straight A student from sixth grade through the last year in high school, you're going to have some choices, and some people are going to offer you money to go to school. Do you have some schools you're targeting?
I do, because I think I'm going into like maybe the medical or science field, so I'm looking for schools that are for that area so that I can specialize there and get a good degree there.
I'm thinking about being a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never too late. I understand you also play drums?
I do, yeah. I've played for 14 years. So when I was 3 years old, I picked up a pair of drumsticks and played on a vintage kit out at a Midlothian music store. And ever since that, I loved it. And now today I have a huge drum set. 14 years later, I won a talent show. It's just great.
Are you near the drums? Anywhere nearby? Are you near them now?
Wake up the neighbors?
Yeah, they're in my house. Yeah.
Did you go to the drums and play something for us?
You want me to?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
I'm going to keep bragging about you.
His parents are going to love this.
This is a kid of the week first, isn't it?
This is live performance here by Aaron.
All right. I got to play the drums.
I got to play the drums. Wake up.
Yeah, tell me when you're ready. Yeah.
All right.
All right, this is kid of the week, Aaron Hanania. What are you going to play for us?
I'm just going to do a quick drum solo for you.
Yeah, give me a little solo. Let's go. Aaron Hanania, hit it. Nice.
Hey, all right, that's where the crowd goes wild. We'll go back into the jazz fusion
Very nice. Now, how many siblings did you just wake up?
None, actually.
Oh, it's just you in the house?
Everyone's awake.
Oh, okay. Right, good. The neighbors. How many neighbors did you just wake up?
Yeah, very nice.
Probably a few.
All right, now I've got notes here to see. You've also interviewed celebrities. This for your YouTube channel?
Yeah, and I also write stories because I love writing. You know, my dad's a writer. He didn't force me into it at all. So I just pick. I've learned writing from him, you know, certain ideas and how to write really good news stories. So I would interview people like Michael Scofield and Rizzo, and then I would write a news story, and I learned to love it. So, yeah, I use it for YouTube, and then I'll write a story for the local paper, too.
Rizzo, by the way, is Anthony Rizzo.
Right.
And yeah, Michael Scofield, remember, was in the studio with us.
Yeah.
He's a Sandberg High School alum.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, he is Sandberg High School.
You've written novels, Aaron, and this is different than celebrity interviews. Talk about where that comes from. How do you construct a novel, and how do you finish a project like that? So many writers that I know have a hard time as adults. How do you do it as a kid?
As a kid, so when I was like sitting in school, I was thinking the same thing. I knew I always wanted to write something big. So especially in sophomore year, we were learning about like a lot of human morality. So I really got some cool ideas for that. I was like, why don't I do an experiment where a scientist creates an experiment and puts two regular kids in a hypo-controlled society with all these rules. And sometimes in a perfect world, it's just not that perfect. So I wanted to see what would happen.
Isn't this Lord of the Flies? Like an adaptation?
Not really.
In space.
Not really, not at all. But I mean, we actually did read Lord of the Flies, and the idea of having like no rules, that I like those ideas. So I just wanted to do something really totally different that had never been done before.
I like the way your mind works, man. And I also like the way you drum. And that's a sentence I never said before. because most drummers, I wouldn't say the first part. You're an amazing dude.
Triple threat.
And by the way, I think we're going to be able to read some of your stuff at some point, but where do we send folks to read it now?
You send it to aaron411news.com, and it's also available on amazon.com.
AARON, aaron411news.com. Happy to make you kid of the week. You a baseball fan?
Yeah, I am. I was at the Cubs game last night.
You did go to the Cub game?
What time did you get home?
Did you eat?
Like 11:30.
Aaron, can I ask you a question? We were talking about this early in the hour. Did you? It was rained out, of course, and the obviously the crowd was still there. How much did you consume? What did you eat?
I mean, we had a hot dog and some popcorn.
There you go. We were trying to say, like, if they would have canceled the game, which they should have, they would have lost the concessions. Dave was a little skeptical, but here's Aaron, anecdotal evidence. That says, yes, Aaron dropped a popcorn and a hot dog at Wrigley Field, probably about $45.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Dave, as you know, the Cubs have had a long-standing policy where they don't let you out until you buy stuff.
So that's true.
Even on a rain
night. You get in there, they're already bombarded by the yearbook guy, so you got to buy that.
You got it. Aaron, are you going back today to the game?
I might. I'm going to try because the Dodgers are a great team. I'd love to see them play, but
look
I don't know
you.
If I'll be able
look
to
at the
it.
Summer you're having. Look at you.
I know. It's great.
Lou Malnati's pizza for you. Find one of the 40 Chicagoland Lou's and an app gift card, too. By the way, do you mentor littler kids at all?
I mean, I'd love to, like, tell people, like, what I believe. You know, like, I believe that the key to good writing is not worrying about making a mistake, because if you don't worry about it, you won't make a mistake. So I try to tell people that idea.
Here's the reason I ask. The Chicago White Sox have given us some scholarships to their baseball summer camp. but this is for boys and girls 5 to 12. So I'm thinking if you got a little cousin or something who's a baseball player, this would be a nice thing for you to give to them.
That would be. That would be great.
Yeah. Do you have one?
I don't. I mean, I would maybe my nephew, but maybe they would like it.
Cause, would you like us to give it to the next the worthy 5 to 12-year-old that calls?
Yeah, would you be able to? That'd be great.
In your name, like as a gift from you?
Yeah, could you do that? That'd be amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
And if I could just let you know, Patrick, my stepson, he's 11 right now, and he's doing the Sox camp in Winnetka, and he had the first day yesterday, and he loved it.
Well, there you go. All right, so here's the deal.
I've heard good things.
Love that stuff.
I've heard good things.
It was so fun.
All right, Aaron, it's a pleasure to meet you. Hold the line. Say hi to your dad for us, too. Hold the line.
So can we do like a seventh caller?
Well, somebody that's got a 5 to 12-year-old in their life that really wants them to experience this.
Yeah. And, there's options everywhere, all over the Chicagoland area.
Yeah. And a bonus would be if you're stretched and this is something that would really help you. You know,
think about all of the bunting practice.
It covers...
Nobody bunts anymore.
No, they'll train you. It's like a good hour of just bunting.
It's 3 hours a day, this camp, and that scholarship covers the whole cost. There's no additional cost.
Right.
Unless you,
A scholarship to the White Sox baseball summer camp, boys or girls, 5 to 12. A fun part of the fundamentals. All skill levels and experience are welcome, even if you never picked up a bat. Find a baseball summer camp near you and register at BullSoxAcademy.com. Don't forget the S on Bulls, BullSoxAcademy.com. All right, what's coming up at 7 o'clock?
Steve, we're going to hear the audio that everyone's talking about, audio of children crying in one of the immigration separation facilities on the border, U.S. border. That's coming up at 7 o'clock from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
And traffic sponsored by Account Temps. Accident outbound side of the Stevenson near Weber. It's off to the side. Coming in 42 from the Tri-State. Inbound Edens 24 from Lake Cook. Inbound in the Kennedy 38 from O'Hare 18 from the Edens. Up to 46 heading outbound. Inbound Eisenhower's 55 from 53 and about 42 from Mannheim. Stevenson 42 from the Tri-State. The Ryan 25 from 95th. Very heavy. Bishop Ford 57 from 115th. I-65 southbound before State Road 2. Accident in the right lane. Another accident in Tinley Park. 143rd and Ridgeland. Demand for top talent is at an all-time high. Account Temps can help you find highly skilled temporary accounting and finance professionals who fit your needs and hit the ground running. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mayor Vandeval, WGN Traffic Central.
Look, man, we're in a disenchanted universe. And I think as the world is becoming more tribal, especially America, is becoming more tribal, it is incumbent upon us to become more peaceful.
Amen.
When they go low,
we go high.
We go high. But then, you know, when they go high, we just go to the middle.
Stuff that matters on WGN Radio.
Arvid, have you seen Ben?
No, I haven't.
I'm up here, Nicole.
What are you doing up there?
Trying to sit on this sofa.
Ben, that sofa's not for sitting. We have it hanging sideways from the ceiling for a reason.
Oh, I thought it was a new style.
No, we hang two sofas from the ceiling at every showroom. One from Penny Mustard.
And the other from one of our competitors.
We let you peek inside both sofas to see how they're made.
Everything's color-coded so you can compare the quality of the construction.
We're not afraid to show you what other builders would never let you see, because we know that every piece of furniture in our showroom is sophisticated with the finest materials and the highest standards.
Just look for the hanging sofas in any Penny Mustard showroom.
They're hard to miss.
But please, don't climb on the sofas. I learned that the hard way.
Penny Mustard Furnishings.
5 locations throughout Chicagoland.
PennyMustard.com.
Better versions of what people want.
Penny Mustard Furnishings.
At every MB Financial Bank location, you'll find an MB Small Business Advisor making local connections, getting involved with everything from chambers to bureaus to councils to clubs, getting acquainted with attorneys, realtors, accountants, consultants, bringing MB Small Business clients insights and contacts one wouldn't expect from a bank. Another reason why, for your town, your neighborhood, your small business, MB means business. MB Financial Bank. Member FDIC.
Does your child love baseball? Enroll them in a White Sox Youth Academy summer camp. They'll learn fundamentals and receive White Sox and Academy gear, as well as White Sox game tickets. To sign up, visit BullsSoxAcademy.com or call 630-PLAY-BALL.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, CARS for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
kids. Donate your car today. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Timeless, memorable music is back on the radio
at 87.7 FM.
Great artists.
Great songs.
Great memories.
Right now on 87.7 FM.
First on your dial
at 87.7 FM.
MeTV FM.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Sounds like Bill Curtis wandered into traffic there.
I was about to say, hey, okay? Curtis, liven it up, buddy.
You all right? Lyle's Eyes to the Skies head out for the annual Eyes to the Skies event June 29th through July 1st. You come out, you see us. We're going to be broadcasting from the festival next Friday, June 29th from 6 to 10. My brother, Mickey, is visiting from New York, and he'll be in town next week as well.
It's great
and
to meet
Mickey. He's excited, right?
He's
the best.
Yeah.
He's going to take a balloon up.
Oh, great.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's going up.
With the pilot?
Have you ever done a hot air balloon?
I've never done a hot air balloon.
I've done it a couple times. It's fun.
Is Mickey going to drive?
I don't think so.
I'll go up if Mickey's driving.
Now, that's not a bonus.
That's not a bonus?
That's not a benefit.
See, it's not risky enough to go in a hot air balloon. It's risky with an amateur driver.
I honestly don't think it's that risky. I mean, I've done it a couple times.
Yeah.
I won't jump out of an airplane, but I've done a hot air balloon.
Yeah, I guess it's not. It looks risky.
To correct, I haven't jumped out of a hot air balloon. I've been in the basket and taken a couple of rides.
I did the tethered ride there 2 years ago.
Oh, you got to cut the tether, man.
Oh, really?
You
got
to cut the tether.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, bring up your jackknife that you carry with you in case you need
my
it.
My Swiss Army knife? Okay.
The festival, 100% volunteer, 100% goes to charity. That's not easy to do, and good for them for doing it. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets. The Lyle's Eyes to the Skies. Details at WGNRadio.com/events. We'll be live in Lyle next Friday morning, regardless of the weather, I think. I mean, if it's a monsoon, we'll be out there anyway.
Nice. Do I get to go?
Well, of course. Everybody's
all right,
go.
Awesome. I haven't got the all staff yet. I figured there'd be 15 emails going around, and I haven't been on it.
Well, I'm sure we'll have 15 emails to confuse everyone, but we will all be there. That's next Friday.
I've been to that festival before. I've gone as a I patronized that festival.
You know what you want?
As a civilian, right?
As a balloon fest here in the flatlands of America, it's pretty darn cool.
It's cool.
It is.
If the weather is bad, it's just pretty. Just broadcast from my house.
Oh, we'll be at your house. That's right. You're not far from there.
Yeah,
Super Joe, though, you said everyone's going. Super Joe lives in Lyle, but he has to come here for the broadcast that morning.
Well, can't we cover him?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Nope.
Yeah, I won't be there either.
Yeah, and I have to stay too, so not everybody's going.
What do you mean you're not going? Where aren't you going?
Be in Iceland or something.
Not in Iceland.
Wait, this is...
I'll be in Norway.
We have options?
Well, hold on a second. Why are you going to Norway?
Well, because it's part of my trip. It's all my itinerary.
Is it Norway only? Or are you just
Denmark, Norway? Going next week with Steve Bertrand Travel.
We could have a Norwegian themed balloon if that'll keep you in town.
Well, it'd be tempting, but
like
I don't
Vikings
think it's
in the basket.
I don't think it's the same, Steve.
Oh, I can't wait to hear all about
say.
This. Great, man.
Are you swinging over to Amsterdam, Dave?
Not going to Amsterdam.
Well, listen, we're not selling the trip. We're selling Lyle. Lyle and the Eyes to the Skies. So join us next week, 6 to 10 a.m. And Dave, have a delightful time in Norway.
Thank you.
Why don't you give away a pair of tickets?
Right now?
Yeah. Can I?
Are you feeling it?
Oh, Justin.
What caller?
Can we do hot air balloon? It takes like 10 seconds to get those things to fire up. So I'd say caller number 10.
All right.
All right. Well thought out. In addition to that, later on this morning, Father Tom Hurley will join us. And we're going to talk about the greatest block party in America. But this came up in a meeting after the show yesterday. This isn't Wednesday.
No.
I'm not Catholic.
Right.
But anything you always wanted to ask a priest but were afraid to ask, this could go so badly. Anything you always wanted to ask a priest, but were afraid to ask. If there
That's
are arable
the text
questions.
Question? Eh. If they're arable.
If they're arable questions, we'll bring them up to Father Tom.
Is Father Tom going to be in studio?
I believe so.
Yeah, he's coming in.
Because we might want to close the curtains on the windows.
Close the curtains where the neighbors are getting dressed?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's part of us getting used to our new facility here. All right, we're coming back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Chief engineer for 720 WGN, who plugged everything in, hooked everything up. In just a second. How easy is it to move a radio station? We'll find out. In the meantime, 847. FYI, since you guys moved out of the Tribune Tower, I've had trouble with the reception on my radio, and I keep losing the strong signal, and it gets staticky, and I've frequently had to readjust it. At times, I get a Russian language station cutting in and out.
Oh, I forgot to tell you that we do that. I do that. That's why I'm on the show now.
I'm afraid this might be a Trump thing. I hope you guys can fix it soon. That was not the point of Bill Murdoch being on, but let's go live to Comrade Murdoch. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Steve. How are you? Happy Tuesday.
And to you. So why would a Russian language station be cutting in and out of WGN signal?
I don't know. It could be sunspots, you know. There's a lot of things that bounce around in the ionosphere that... Yeah. You know, happen to interfere with signals. So
me starting
part of the fun.
Me trying to create a Trump controversy out of this is probably a stretch.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Or it could be the midterms. It could be the midterms. So just throwing it out there.
So it's pretty cool being on this side of the microphone, huh?
Now I appreciate you coming on because, in all seriousness, I wanted to congratulate you and your entire team for facilitating this move. I know your head exploded a few times over the process. Like a couple times there were people in the middle of Bill moving the entire tower over to this location. They'd come up to Bill and go, do you know where paper clips are? Do you know where, can I get some post-it notes? So you rightfully lost it. But in the meantime, did you guys do any statistics on everything you had to move? Like how many miles of cable and all the other things you had to do?
No, we didn't have time for that kind of stuff. Okay. We were kind of looking at the time frame of we needed to be out by, you know, July 1st. And it was $1 per square foot per day, you know, calculation of how quickly we needed to get out.
Yeah, and Larry Word said that's on your tab?
Yeah. And we broke on January 8th, and we finally got the space just after the March 30th or so. And from that, it was real construction. And the goal was to build a studio that kind of had the newsroom as the center of things. And, you know, having the studios right along the windows was you know, a prime goal. And walked into the space and said, you know, we need to build a wall. So we built
Trump?
An additional wall. Huh?
In the midst of doing this, do I have the dates right then? You're telling us that this basically started on April 1st?
Pretty much, and actually maybe closer to the 15th by the time we really had space to work within, you know, that area, you know, to get the cabling pulled. And yeah, it's crazy stuff.
And how many square feet are we talking about?
It's about 17,000.
17,000 square feet, and we've used this space pretty well, and you guys pulled this off in 10 weeks.
Yeah, it was a lot of help, so... And a lot of people came together, and we were able to get this, you know, salespeople moved over earlier. And, you know, it worked out pretty well. So, and, you know, we kept everybody on the air.
Well, what's the biggest challenge for people listening that might want to move their own radio station?
You know, the ice machine. We had issues with ice machines.
He's not kidding.
We had issues with soap dispensers.
Yeah, he's not kidding.
But it was fun doing the microwave across the river so you guys could all see each other.
Right.
So it was kind of challenging when, you know, we had people still operating out of Showcase. And then we moved master control over to the, you know, to 303. And, you know, it was a coordination. So there were some echoes. There were some feedback. We made special headphone mixes for everybody at each end. And, you know, it seemed to work out okay.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. This is an awesome space, and I really appreciate broadcasting out of here. And I wanted to ask how much of it is, you know, in your experience as an engineer, how much did you know going into this about constructing a radio station from scratch? I mean, because that's something that obviously engineers know, but not many have gone through.
This is the ninth station I've moved. The ninth, you know,
nine
project
times.
That we did. 9 times. The first one I did was moving V103 from the Oak Park Arms over to River City back in 1989.
I've been at V103. It's a nice setup over there too.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then River City was an interesting place because, you know, it's a residential area.
Yeah.
But in the Oak Park Arms was also a hoot because that was it's a retirement home. So we had an urban radio station on the top of a retirement home, which was a hoot. And then we moved CKG from 150 North Michigan to Prudential, and they're still in Prudential now. And
the frequency is the CKG, of course, has been dead for a few years. I am a veteran of that station. I worked there one day, literally one day. Dave, what do you have for Bill?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you guys, I got to see the cage upstairs, way up. What floor is that on, Bill?
Oh, that's in the penthouse.
The penthouse. It's where all the extra equipment's kept. That's really cool. You should ask.
Oh, this is the storage area?
Up there. Yeah, yeah, it's very neat. But I know you haven't seen every radio station. Well, you've probably seen most of them in Chicago. But I can't imagine that there's anything that really compares to this around. Is that a safe statement? Is this about as good as it gets?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. And what we did was when we were negotiating for the space, we looked at a bunch of different properties, and this is a property that, you know, since Tribune Media also had, you know, space in this area, you know, we said, well, we could glob on with them and do our thing, but we have to have the northeast corner, because if we don't have the northeast corner, we're not moving there, you know, and I use Channel 9 as part of our reasoning, because, you know, that beauty shot of, you know, Navy Pier and the lock and everything else.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's crazy.
So we've got some nice camera positions for Channel 9. There's a north shot that looks up Columbus, the west shot that looks at the Wrigley Building and the river, and then the south shot that looks at Millennium Park. And then the idea of having the windows and the airiness, and you know when we built the wall around the outer edge wall, we made sure that we matched the glass so we get the sound attenuation, because I mean, and to still be able to see outside and make it nice. And there's a fire station right next door, and you don't hear fire engines go by. And with all the construction going on, you know, we were very cognizant to make sure we kept the sight lines while still being able to you know, make them into radio studios.
Very impressive, man.
Well,
very impressive. Congrats and thanks to you and your team. And what location finished second? I don't even know the answer to that.
Yeah, was it related to signal problems or anything, Bill? That we had to go with a certain area for signals?
It was two. We liked those. 205 North Michigan was another place we looked at, and then there was a place on the West Loop, right by Union Station. That was the third place. So, but this was the winner. Definitely a nice building.
Yeah, that's great.
And so we're going to miss Trib Tower. You know, we're going to miss the the flooding and the bugs and things like that. But I mean,
that's building. Nothing but the best. Nothing but the best at Trib Tower and whoever the new residents are. And Lord knows we needed another office condo complex in Chicago. All good. So thanks, buddy. I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you. Have a great one. I'll see you in a little bit.
That's Bill Murdoch, the chief engineer. And by the way, if you're moving a radio station, call him.
Yeah.
Yes.
He should do number 10.
Yeah, he should do a local commercial. He's at 9 times. He's like the Empire Carpet guy at this
kind of needs
number
a
down there.
Yeah, he needs a 10th. Yeah.
Are you looking to move radio stations? Oh, hi, I'm Bill Murdoch.
What a limited business.
He's pulling his hair out right now in the car.
No! Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I can't hear you, Mary. I can't hear you. Come on, louder.
I love it.
She's belting it out.
There was some good humming going on in here. I'm privy to. I'm partial to the.
The other one. You don't like Casey Musgraves?
Yeah, I don't like Casey Musgraves.
What?
No, I don't know Casey Musgraves.
I love Casey Musgraves. She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really is. Yeah, she said nice things about you.
She was on SNL the other week. I saw that.
She's great.
Good.
Yeah, she's like a current Emmylou Harris.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, what she said. You want to give these Hawks passes away?
I do.
Okay, four passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention, Hilton, Chicago. That's July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. Dave, can we get Barry Trotz some passes to this? He's probably available.
I'm sure he would like to attend. Yeah. I'm sure they didn't have anything like this in Washington.
No. It's one of the reasons he left. Head coach of the Stanley Cup winning Washington
Capitals.
He tried to get
the Capitals convention going,
right,
and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, Ted Leonsis, what a cheapskate. So in any rate, four passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks convention. And Sandberg, you say until you drive the truck, you're going to give away everything on the prize list. Is that accurate?
I am. That's okay. And I'm going to bully our marketing team.
Yeah. Until we get this together, you can win everything on the prize list.
Until they let me drive that truck. So listeners are going to win.
Let me tell you some of the things you're giving away, Sandberg.
Okay.
Pair of Pavilion, because you'll need to know this for the meeting you'll have later.
I will.
Pair of Pavilion tickets to see the CSO's performance of Beethoven's Ninth at Ravinia on Saturday, July 14th.
Nice.
Visit the Refresh Dining Pavilion and two brand new restaurants for 2018. Tickets at Ravinia.org. But wait, there's more. When you think the CSO, you think the Sycamore Speedway. Family pack of general admissions to the Sycamore Speedway. Get your motor running for the 2018 race season. Go to sycamorespeedway.com.
I love that.
Oh, there's more. Gift certificate to the Golf Center displaying Chicago's premier year-round golf practice facility, including a fully lighted nine-hole course for you to play night golf, and that's not a thing that I just made up. GolfCenterDisplains.com. Lou Malnati's Pizza at LouMalnati's.com. An Apt gift card from AptABT.com. All of that because Sandberg hasn't driven the truck yet.
Right, in addition to the Blackhawks convention passes.
Yeah.
You're going to give away that stuff until the truck is in your
until
possession.
The keys are in your hand.
Until my butt is in that seat.
That's
driving
it.
That Centennial Blue.
You're like a
Chevy Silverado.
You're a Chicago Silverado Trump. You're a negotiator.
You're a truck napper.
I'm shaking that marketing team down.
Yeah. You're a truck napper. That's
part
what
of the
you
deal.
Are.
Right.
Again, July 27th through the 29th, ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Let's go with caller.
Well, let's see. Kane is 88, right?
Yeah, let's do caller 7.
Oh, no. Okay.
312-981-7200. Yeah, so there you go. Call and get yours at 312-981-7200. All right, still to come, Jeff Sluman, one of the all-time greats, and Chicago's own Jeff Sluman. What a PGA. He'll be at the Constellation Champions Tour event coming up.
You know what you should ask him about? Mm-mm. Because when I was looking into him, he's had Bulls tickets for like over 10 years, which is fun because they're not great. If he cares about the draft. And then he also has a wine cellar with over 2,000 rare wines.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder what you do with that kind of collection because, you know, each bottle is like three glasses. So, like, if you drink one a day, you know,
you'd be really drunk.
Right. You just can't go through that much wine, I don't think. Or do you think he hosts a lot of dinner parties?
Well, let's go live to Steve Cochran Show boozologist Dave Innitt.
No. First of all, I don't know where you get three glasses out of one bottle.
Yeah.
I think you can do a little better than that.
Well, I guess the way my husband pours it.
See?
Isn't it four glasses per bottle?
I mean, that's how I would normally look at it. So I think perhaps that title has been misappropriated here.
Maybe
so
Pat Boyle is a boozologist.
That's 8,000 glasses of wine sitting in Sluman's basement.
Yes,
my wine glasses are more like a tumbler, though. I mean, they're giant.
Heavy pours.
Yeah, they're big ones.
Well,
yeah, they have those big wine glasses now, the big, huge, round ones.
Well, so is Dave's, depending on the day at work.
How much is, how many, so really it's about how many boxes of wine are in Sluman's cellar.
Well, you know, the screw top wine bottles now are the way to go.
Yeah.
Because they got rid of the corks, because the corks
decay.
It's awesome. And welcome to 2015, Steve. It's really nice to have you here.
All right, we'll be back in just a second.
Wow.
Got a winner already? Hold on a second. Oh, yeah, we actually do have a winner. I wasn't just making that up to end this. Is it Sari?
Yes.
Hey, Sari, how are you?
Oh, my God, I am so excited.
Sari, you won all this stuff. This is hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of prizes.
My brother is the biggest Blackhawks fan, and his birthday is July 29th. He's going to be 60.
And how about this? You might even win the truck.
Well, I wouldn't mind winning the truck, too. Who wouldn't like a blue Silverado?
Exactly.
Yeah, imagine how great you're going to look in that, Sari, with your driving to the Blackhawks convention in your Silverado. Congratulations, you're a winner. What's your brother's name?
His name is Jeffrey.
All right, Jeffrey, you got a great sister. Be nice to her. So, hold on, Siri. Stand by. So there you go. Happy Siri. And 729, headlines next, 720 WGN.
And now, back to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
I know you're going to dig this.
Father Tom Hurley and the world's biggest block party. I know that other things have names for it, but you find one bigger. He'll be in studio later. There's Sox tickets to give away. And Eyes to the Skies tickets as well could be coming up later. Orion will be on the show later. All of that on the way. With Father Tom, here's your text question. Kind of a mini text question, but we've got more than enough Catholic. Well, that's not a good way to put that.
Yeah.
We've got a ton of Catholics in Chicago, obviously. Not being Catholic, I just would like to open this for you guys, because I'm a giver. 312-981-7200, text question. I always wanted to ask my priest this, but I was afraid to. Got some questions that have come in this morning that actually seem like things I could bring up.
My question would be,
but you're not Catholic.
Is there something wrong with your teeth, or are those invisible braces? That would be my...
That's your question for a Catholic priest?
Well, the pastor in my church growing up, he had the clear braces, but it was the early adapter to it.
Sure. So
I always watched the sermon or what have you, and I'd be like, is that just a plaque buildup, or is that dude
you thought
braces
it was a priest
like
thing? You thought it was a rev thing?
I don't know if it was a rev, but it's just a question I would ask my... Pastor,
yeah, that's the weirdest thing I've ever.
Yeah, you're not going to be allowed to talk to him. Yeah, no. Based on
I'm just
that,
saying that it doesn't have to be religious or it doesn't have to.
Oh
be
yeah, no, it does. Everything you want.
Yeah, I just found out my priest has a dog, and
why
I
is
thought
that a bad thing?
I don't know. I thought that's weird. I've never heard of a priest having a dog. Have you?
Well, they can't get married, but they
I
can
know.
Have pets.
Well, I didn't even think about it. I thought in the rectory. I'm what's, like, there's a dog in the rectory, but okay, I thought, well, that's kind of interesting.
I'm curious. What's the dog's name?
Well, that's not
Lucy.
You guys have totally lost your focus here.
Well, but it could have been Jesus.
These
wouldn't
are
it be
questions
funny?
We
the
want
dog?
To know.
Yeah, we're interpreting that question.
Is he out there picking up after his dog wearing his church thing?
Well, no,
he
wears normal clothes.
Thing.
He doesn't wear black.
Is he wearing his church thing?
He doesn't
like
wear black
cape.
All the time.
He's not in his collar
no.
out there?
No.
Is he in his
so.
Superhero outfit when he's outside?
Well, we were in a meeting, and he actually had to leave to go walk the dog.
Oh, just make that an excuse.
If he does the blessing of the pets on that St. Francis Day. Or
yes, he does. We have blessing of the pets.
Do you think he likes his dog better?
I can't.
Preferential treatment?
I can't.
Probably.
I can't imagine that the audience could come up with better text questions than you guys have brought up in the past minute.
I got more.
I just hope the number two bags are not holy.
312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah, that guy caught it. I'm
Does
just moving
on. Does he do
that
number one holy water?
All right, turn everyone's microphones off. Jeff Slobin, Constellation Senior Players Championship coming to Exmoor July 9th through the 15th. And Slew joins us on the phone now. How are you, my friend?
Good, how are you?
I'm sorry you had to listen to all that on hold.
I was laughing, though. It was pretty funny.
All right, so last time I saw you, I think you and I were doing the awards for the Pro-Am because they've been nice enough to invite me out again, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. The best.
Yeah, it should be a good time there, and, it's an unbelievable golf course and major for the Champions Tour, so we're very excited to be back in Chicago.
Yeah, and Scott McCarron has been on the program many times as well. Scott's your defending champ there, and he's playing really well, isn't he?
You know, there's a lot of guys playing well. Stricker and Kelly from obviously up in Madison, where I'm going probably in 20 minutes when I hang up. We have a tournament up there this week.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you got Bernhard, and the only thing really missing is you kind of wish Freddie Couples' back was a little better, where he could play a little more. But you never know when Freddie's going to make an appearance.
Yeah, and Lehman just won.
Yeah, I mean, the quality of play out on the Champions Tour is really incredible. I think that's the thing that when the guys turn 50 and they come out, not that they don't realize it, but when they are out there and they see it for the first couple times, I think they're amazed at the scoring and what you really have to do out there to win.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, one of the sales pitches for the tour, and it's a right one, is to see the best of the game, and you guys are having a really good time, and it's fun, and maybe it's a little more relaxed, but every time I've been around you guys, you're as viciously competitive as you were when you were 30.
Well, I don't think you can ever take that out of somebody. You're competitive. I imagine if you talk to Blackhawks or that are playing in a no-check league at 50, they still want to score. They still want to win. It's just, I think it's kind of something that's in your jeans and you want to be competitive and you want to try and win, beat the other guy.
Jeff, what are your thoughts on Exmoor, where you guys will be playing next month?
Well, the listeners may not know, but it's an old established Donald Ross golf course that Chicago has so many great old venue-style golf courses that it's really incredible. But, you know, it's going to be a wonderful test of golf, and if you are into golf and you understand what Donald Ross tried to do even 100 years ago that's still, you know, current and all that, you really have to think your way around the golf course. You got to execute shots. It's not just get up and hit it as far as you can and chase it down and hit it again. It's a different kind of game, which we truly enjoy playing like that.
Good test of the game. Justin, say hi.
Hi, Jeff. I my question for you is, what do you have to do preparation-wise to get ready for an outing a month out? Do you have a regiment that you do to get ready to hit the links?
Play a major?
Well, you know, not really. I haven't changed much from how I prepared on the regular tour. I watched the U.S. Open, which I'm sure a lot of listeners did, and maybe you guys, but I forgot which of the, I think it might have been Snedeker. There's a lot of guys that go in 6 months early and play at an event or the year before or a month. The golf course isn't like that the week of the tournament. So fortunately this year, we have off the week before our championship at Exmoor, so I'm going to go out that week and play two or three times and get familiar with the golf course. I don't think it really helps too much going out a year before because the golf course can be so different.
All the golf you've played in your life, can you still have fun just goofing around playing golf like when a buddy wants to play? I mean, you know, it's work for you.
Well, yeah, I actually I do enjoy, I would say probably from age 35 to 50, I didn't enjoy really going out and playing, you know, hit and giggle golf, but as now I'm 6-0, I do enjoy going out with friends and playing and having a good time. And, you know, we play a lot in Florida in the off season. And,
sure.
And, you know, it's just fun. I still really enjoy playing every day. And I know that's kind of strange. Hopefully you enjoy coming to the studio every day.
Well, that's the thing, right? And I think the older you get, the more you appreciate what maybe you didn't appreciate when you were a little younger. It sounds like a cliche, but I think it's true.
Yeah, I mean, great cliche, but it is true. I appreciate it more, and I appreciate the. Hopefully, I've got a few more good years left out here. But you know, it's you're 60. I mean, you have to look in the mirror and say it is. The time is getting shorter to go out and play competitive golf. So I'm enjoying it more and more now.
I'm only 57. I can't identify at all. Yeah, I got to ask you about Phil. Phil Mickelson will always be remembered as one of the greats in the game, but you know what a golf nut I am, and I've played, you know, my whole life. I've watched golf my whole life. I've watched you guys forever. I've never seen what Phil pulled on Saturday, where he chased after a moving ball, whacked it back, and then claimed he was strategically trying to get a two-shot penalty instead of living with the consequences of the same. I saw a lot on Twitter immediately following, hey, lighten up, people, it's just golf. And, Jeff, the analogy I used is, you know, Tom Brady throws an interception, he doesn't get a do-over. You know, there are rules in sports and etiquette in sports that matter. So I was just curious what your take was on that.
I would say I was in the, I believe, at least, from what I've read, that the majority of the players thought he probably should have been disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Rule 1-2, not the one that they used. But that was the USGA's call. They assessed him two shots. The real thing was, I mean, under that rule, but if he had thought a little further along, he should have just taken an unplayable.
Right.
Where the ball ended up, come back and put it back to where his putt was, and he only would have incurred a one-shot penalty. So there was actually a little more to that story that he could have done.
Just such a weird thing. It was just watching. It was so goofy.
I think the frustration and that pin placement and apparently 15 were a little, let's just say they were a little edgy that day.
Mm-hmm. Edgy is a nice word for ridiculous.
Guys get a little frustrated, and I think the memory goes back to the last time the tournament was at Shinnecock, and the greens got very, very similar, and I think you just get frustrated, and you do things that you probably wish you wouldn't have done when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and I think that's certainly where Phil is. I just wish he had owned it more. And the idea that he wanted to do that at Augusta Day for years, and he just never did it. You do that at Augusta, you never play Augusta again.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, yeah, it would be a big story again, but it's kind of a shame, really, when you think about that's the first question he asked me about the Open, not the fact that Brooks Koepka won two in a row, first guy to do it in 29 years, you know, with great performance on the back nine.
It was great.
Well, I was going to ask you, Jeff, of the younger guys, of the new breed, all these 20-something golfers who are out there, who do you enjoy watching?
Well, I enjoy watching guys like Koepka and, you know, the bomber guys, because that's not how I played. So you look at something that I do, at least, that I never did, and I never played that way or could play that way. So it's really fun to watch these guys get up and just kind of fearless. I mean, you look at Justin Thomas, I mean, he hits it so far, and Koepka and those guys. And, you know, when Brooks won a few years ago at Phoenix, there's the last hole, 300-yard carry over water, and, you know, it's kind of dead if you pull it left. And he just got up and hit this drive and carried it about 320 right over the heart of the water and had a little flip wedge left. And I said, I mean, that's a 72nd hole, first win, unbelievable. So I knew this guy had what it took to really become a great player.
Yeah, and you mentioned Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas, one of the great young stars of the game, and he's a little taller than you are, Jeff Sloman, maybe, but he's only 140.
Most are.
He's only 145 pounds.
That's amazing, yeah.
145 pounds, and he hits it a mile.
Absolutely, and, you know, we have this conversation on the Champions Tour. If I was 15 or in my body, or Jay Haas or Corey Pavin, would we swing the way we do? Probably not. Mm-hmm. These guys are taught much differently now to maximize distance, and they obviously can do it. But their swings are much different than ours. You know, we grew up with, I know this sounds crazy, and a lot of golfers have never done it, but wooden shafts, that's not that old, but wooden clubs, steel shafts,
right,
a lot of balls, they didn't go far.
So no, it was a different game.
You had to really maneuver the ball. Yeah, it was a much different game. So you're swing develops one way, and I don't know anybody that really can totally change their swing at 50 to try and take advantage of what's going on now. So I would think if I made it in professional golf right now, I wouldn't swing anywhere near the way I swing now.
Well, here's hoping to say that all your swings work this week, next week, and the week after, and we'll see you next more. By the way, if we end up together in the pro-am, if we end up together in a pro-am, Slew, I'm going to chase all my putts down till they're in. I'm going to play.
I'm going to throw a sick day in if we end up.
I'm going to play it like Johnny Taves. I'm just going to chase it down and puck it into the hole.
There you go.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Have a good trip. That's Jeff Sluman, Chicago's own PGA Tour winner and PGA champion. He picked up that major, I think, in Rochester.
30 years ago. That was the year before they played at Kemper Lakes.
That's right.
Right?
The great Emil Esposito.
Right, man. Payne Stewart won.
Look at this guy. A walk on Wikipedia. That's between amazing. Those booze-soaked ears of his. What's coming up at 8 o'clock?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than when I should. Yeah.
Kiss 8:12, time now for Moron Entertainment. Dean Richards joins me live from Channel 9. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good to see everybody yesterday morning.
Nice to have you here.
It's great to have you here, man.
Yeah, appreciate the story and the publicity and the stuff you made up, too.
That was most of it. All fake.
Texters are fired up this morning. I want to get to some of these before 9 o'clock, but we're still taking questions, too. Everything I always wanted to ask a priest but was afraid to ask. Mm. We got some really good questions from people, like, considered learned, experience-based Catholic questions.
We did.
Yeah.
Like if they have a dog, if they have to clean up after them.
Well, that's not one of the ones I was thinking of, but yes, that was one of the questions.
Hey, Dean, so your Buzz segment, I didn't realize it runs outside of your morning show day part.
It does?
Yeah, I was getting flooded with text messages yesterday that people were seeing me on the 6 o'clock news because you... Your thing ran, and it was the back of my head, and you said I was the producer. In the future, I would like a heads up if the back of my head is going to be filmed. That
I was not, I'm not responsible for what the photographer was shooting.
Don't you have a Google alert set for the back of your head?
No. I think the back of my head has its own Twitter handle, though.
Well, it does now.
It should now. That guy on, what was that Tim Allen show, Home Alone? No, what was
Home Improvement.
With just his head, you're right.
That guy, the neighbor, we only saw
Wilson.
The top. Yeah, Wilson.
Yeah, hey, Wilson.
This could be like the back of Mary's head that people always talk about. Yeah. Home Alone.
Back.
With Macaulay. Remember that? With Tim Allen and Macaulay Culkin, remember that?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Who cares about the MTV Movie Awards anymore? Well, a lot of people still do.
Well, I guess some people do. A lot of people went to see Black Panther.
Yeah.
They won most of the movie awards last night. The TV show Stranger Things won most of the TV awards. And that's, you know, in terms of the awards, that's pretty much, you know, the headline out of that. Lady Gaga won Best Documentary for the documentary they put together on her life. But what I thought was a really great moment was when Chadwick Boseman, who plays Black Panther, won Best On-Screen Hero. He calls up to the stage James Shaw Jr. That's the guy who stopped the Waffle House shooting in Tennessee.
Hero.
A couple of months ago. Real life hero. Calls him up on stage. Not only thanks him, but he actually gives him the award and says, this guy is a real hero. He should get the hero award this year.
Nice touch.
Which was, I thought, very classy. Chadwick Boseman, super classy, thoughtful guy like that.
Now, I, you know, we have monitors here in the new studio like we did in the old. We probably have more here now because we need them. But one of the things that's always up is the Channel 9 Morning News, of course. And I keep noticing footage of you talking to Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
Handsome Jeff Goldblum, I
might add. Very handsome. He's
aging well.
He's aging very, very well. He may be now my number one favorite celebrity to interview.
Because he's whack?
Because he's whack in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
He delivers hilarious content every time, and I was going to feature it for you this morning, except it's so visual that it wouldn't make sense on the radio. But let me describe.
Well, this is what I was going to reference. He was holding your hand.
Yes.
Why was he holding your hand?
Because years ago, he said that he could read anybody's palm. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, does he still have that ability to read palms? And he takes my hand, and he's complimenting the lines on my
hand. How soft it is?
He did say, my hands feel nice.
It's great that you never worked a day in your life. Look how soft your hands are.
He looked at the lines on my hand and said, nice tread count.
That's great. Such a charmer. Such
a funny line.
Such a sexy charmer.
It's hilarious.
Funny line.
And then said, truth be told, I cannot read palms. I don't believe in reading palms. I just like holding people's hands.
It's very funny.
So this was his way of luring me into his web.
You know, he's a regular guest on the Channel 9 Morning News and usually comes in here when he's in town. Frank Caliendo, a great voice guy. Caliendo does Goldblum ordering a hot dog in New York and on the street. And then next time you see him, you have to have him do it.
Hilarious. Yeah. He's very hilarious. The other thing that Jeff Goldblum did that doesn't make a bit of sense on radio, but is hilarious. Google it later on today. I saw an old interview from the first Jurassic Park movie all those years ago. He was on Conan O'Brien and demonstrated his ability to wiggle each ear individually.
Oh.
Most people can, you know, wiggle both ears at the same time. But he can do left, right, right, left, right, right, left. He's amazing. And he showed us on camera.
I don't even know how to wiggle both ears.
Well, you know, just kind of, I don't even know how to.
Yeah,
you just impossible. Kinda,
Dave, can you wiggle your ears?
I cannot. I mean, I can try.
Can you wiggle your ears, Justin?
No.
Mary, can you wiggle your ears?
Me, Mary?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
not at all. I can curl my tongue.
Steve, can you wiggle your ears?
No, we're just trying to do it in here. Pam Jones could wiggle her ears, but I'm trying.
I can't do it.
No.
Makes the feet all the more amazing.
It's remarkable is what it is.
Because I'm telling you, he's wiggling his ears like he's a Disney animated character.
Uh-huh.
And able to do each ear individually.
That's you know what it is? That's a gift from God.
That is a gift from God that he's got. And crazy, hilarious. Because, you know, I say, do you still have this ability? Oh, wait, let me check. Let me check. I believe I do. I do keep in practice with this. And then he said, I'll do it for you. And then I'm going to look directly at that camera. And he does it.
And he nails it.
That's a good Goldblum right there.
And he nails it.
He's amazing.
Cosby, Heather Locklear, John Cena, Kevin Spacey. 3 out of 4 are weird. They'll all be coming up in just a second. Stand by for that. Moron Entertainment is sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center.
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
8:22 now, back to Dean. Moron Entertainment continues. And if you want to see the new studios, as shot by the Channel 9 crew yesterday, Dean's crew is much bigger than Jay-Z's crew. I'm sure it's your Channel 9 website, right?
That's right, WGNTV.com. The photographers were sober for most of the time that we were there. So you get a nice view.
Nice change of pace.
Yeah.
John Cena.
I shouldn't say that.
You did.
People take too seriously what I say these days.
John Cena is offering to reverse his vasectomy. I didn't ask. I mean, it's fine if he does, but I'm not interested.
Well, speak for yourself, my friend. He's trying to get back with his, with his girlfriend, with his...
By the way, that cough wasn't for emphasis. He actually coughed.
I actually have a cough that won't go away, okay. Which I'm working on. His fiance, Nikki Bella, they were engaged to be married. They broke it off. Now he wants to get back with Nikki Bella, and he says he's so wants to get back with her that he's offering to have his vasectomy reversed so the couple can have children if she will just take him back.
John Cena, for whatever reason, and maybe it's on him, he just really loves to make his romantic issues public.
Well, here's the thing. I think he's very funny. I think he's a great actor. He's a great athlete. But he has appeared to be an absolute nut.
Well, it's for whatever reason, through Instagram or through the press.
But is this an actor? Is he just whacked?
His relationships.
Well, they have a show on the E! Network called Total Bellas.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is just to draw some attention.
Yeah, it's Kardashian
to all of that. It's very Kardashian-like reality show hosts who know how to say crazy things. To get lots of attention. It's like, ooh, he said vasectomy. Let's all talk about it.
Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, I'll have my my appendix put back in. I will reverse my appendectomy from the age of 8.
Yeah, and I'm going to have, and I had my knee scoped a couple of years ago. I'm going to have the bad cartilage put back in.
Don't talk about a bad knee today. Oh, my.
Are you still in pain for me?
Yeah, still in pain. Yeah.
Steve. Mm-hmm.
He's toughing it out, though, Dean.
Yeah. There's only occasional crying. All right, Kevin Spacey, is he still missing?
Kevin Spacey is still missing in action. Has really not been seen since all of the allegations of sexual abuse about him came to light. But before all of this took place, he made a movie called Billionaire's Boys Club. I don't really know what the movie is about yet, but you know, everyone kind of thought that anything that Kevin Spacey was in was going to go on the shelf from now on
and
never
be scrubbed,
seen,
right?
or scrubbed or whatever. But the film studio regarding this movie, TGV Pictures, went on the web yesterday and said they are going to release the Kevin Spacey film. It's going to come out in August. They realize the allegations. They are not in any way endorsing sexual abuse. They say you can either see the movie or not see the movie. They're going to try to recoup some of the money, frankly, that they put into this. Some people are definitely going to go see this movie.
We talked about this when it first happened. Does he have a career?
I think it's done. I don't know.
I don't know how he works again.
I don't. This particular case, I don't know how he recovers because he mishandled this so badly
when the whole thing happened. He's got so many people mad at him now, not to mention all the people, and they're first on the list, who are accusing him of some sort of abuse. But he pretty much has everybody mad at him right now. I don't know how he can appear in anything and it not be a total distraction from whatever the movie or TV show is supposed to be about.
Plot of Billionaires Boys Club, led by fellow preppy friend Joe. A group of wealthy boys in the 80s in L.A. comes up with a plan to get rich quick with a Ponzi scheme. It ends badly.
Yeah, this is a remake, right? This is a... They had a similar Billionaires Boys Club with Judd...
Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson, right.
Yeah, Judd Nelson.
Okay, there you go.
Ron Silver. Yeah, maybe not the best idea to have Kevin Spacey as part of a boys club.
Yeah, that's actually a terrible hook, isn't it? That's a really bad hook. Let's end with two really down notes. Northwestern has taken away the Bill Cosby honorary degree. That seems right.
Yeah, they gave him an honorary degree in 1997 yesterday. Like many universities, I think this is the 10th or 11th now, have decided to rescind the honorary honor that they gave Cosby because of the charges against him.
And what's wrong with Heather Locklear?
Heather Locklear, over the weekend, was hospitalized. Apparently, she was making very disturbing phone calls to family members, threatening suicide, calling family members, seemingly very distraught, saying she was looking for a gun. Family members called the authorities. They took her to a mental facility in California. That's where she is now. She's not under any sort of criminal charge or anything. She's there strictly for her own protection and medical records, and our hearts go out to her. I mean, there's too many stories lately of people who are so overcome with grief that they take their own lives. Here's a family that is getting involved in trying to protect their loved one.
Having said that, we did end on a down note. So, Super Joe, here's what we need. Give me, for tomorrow and beyond, give me some sound effects of babies giggling and puppies barking. And that way, whenever we end on a down note, we could just play those sound effects to kind of cheer everyone up. Because, you know, everybody likes to hear a puppy bark, Dean.
Baby cry, nothing, no happier sound in the world.
No, baby giggling. Giggling, baby giggling.
Yeah, baby crying.
Baby crying, really bad day.
Yeah,
baby crying, no. Baby giggling, yes. Dog, puppy. Puppy. Puppy's barking. What's another?
How about a puppy giggling? Puppy giggling.
For everybody stuck in traffic on 294.
What's better than the sound of a little kid giggling? Come on, please. So.
There you go.
Father Tom coming up. Dean, thank you. I don't know why that was so confusing.
I like it.
Father Tom Hurley being here in a bit. Right now he's watching the show and he's judging all of us. Stand by for that. 8:29. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
From our brand new home,
we're about to witness the greatest miracle of the machine age.
The Allstate Skyline Studio.
Do you hear me? We've got to risk a full power start.
The Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
8:42, back live in the sweet new studios at 303 East Wacker, next to the Swiss Hotel, high above the Palm Restaurant, where I really feel like that's going to be the new official Steve Cochran restaurant. We're at the Tribune Tower is Holland Hood, because Holland Hood's slogan was, it's on the way to my car.
Yeah, right.
The Palm,
.com.
The Palm is close to that, and they redid the Palm a few years ago. But I was at the Palm yesterday having lunch, and the Palm, I used to be on the wall at the Palm. And when they redid the Palm, they took down all the folks that were up in the past. And I said, you guys should auction off those walls for charity. Because there's some great Chicago history on those.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I said, you should also start putting me on the wall.
Right.
Now while I sit here.
Are you going to walk in today with a picture for
him? I'm
going
to keep going back until I'm on the wall.
And about the kind of guy that goes every dry cleaner?
At about $100 a day, that's going to be an expensive wall for me. Anyway, we're glad we're here, and we're glad that one of my favorite guests, Father Tom Hurley, is here. How have you been?
Great.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. I love your new digs here.
Isn't it nice?
Beautiful.
How's it compared to where you work?
Well, I'm in a sanctuary.
Yeah, you got a nice leg up there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're closer to heaven here, I guess.
What? No, well, just technically in
well,
height.
Only in height.
Height.
Yeah.
Only in height.
Only in height.
I think I'll take your path. We had some listeners, and we'll get to these before you go. I threw this out, and I thought, boy, this is going to cause nothing but problems. I said, questions you always wanted to ask a priest. And they're very decent questions from very decent people. I don't know why I'm surprised by that.
You're very surprised.
But the smartasses in this audience, I thought, would be a problem.
They're in the studio. The smart Alex,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, he's heard that language before every Wednesday.
Yeah, right.
First off, let's talk Block Party. When?
This Friday and Saturday over at Old St. Pat's.
Looks like the weather's going to be good.
I hope so.
Yeah. You guys are talking off the air about this. What about the construction? Is the construction a problem?
No, it'll be fine. We don't have people hanging out on the bridges, so I guess we don't need the bridges. So
okay, it's going to
affect Monroe Street out, so we're all good.
Parking or traffic related too?
No, not at all, because we still have some big lots around us. And besides that, we encourage the Ubering and the taxis and everything else. Public transportation.
The area around the church has changed dramatically in the last 10 years. More high-rises and residentials. Do you guys have any issues with, you know, the fact that that used to be the place to be, the old St. Pat's Block Party? Now are people like, you guys turn it down? It's 10 o'clock.
We get a little bit of that. Yeah, some of the neighbors complain. But what are we going to do? We've only been there since 1856.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Yes, who are you to decide what goes on? 34th annual?
It is. 34 years ago.
How many years have you been doing it?
15.
How about that?
Yeah.
And are you on the planning committee where you help decide who's coming into play and all that?
Not at all.
Yeah. So who does that?
You know, we've got a whole committee of people. They're terrific. And they're creative. And we've got people on staff that's what they do full time.
Trippin' Billy's coming in. You know what Trippin' Billy's is?
That's a great band, yeah.
Dave Matthews tribute band.
Yeah.
Who else?
Howl to Go, Dueling Pianos, Seventh Heaven, The Walk-Ins.
Yeah, so tons of great music, cash and prizes.
Yep, absolutely. Great stuff happening. There'll be bags tournaments and a human Jenga thing they're doing.
You're stacking humans?
We are.
Okay, how do they...
And we're not going to the cemetery either. We're doing this live.
How do they fall? Because Jenga involves ultimately a fall. So what do you pull?
This is true. I'm not quite sure. I have not
done
it yet.
Human Jenga.
All right. I think the elephant in the room is that the Block Party is known to many Chicagoans as the hookup central, in the way that it's a singles party. There's a lot of people that...
Wait a minute. You're bringing this up to Father Tom, and you're concerned about me saying the word?
No.
Justin, do we have to use that language?
Yeah, come on, please. We talked about it earlier in the show, but there are a lot of singles that are attracted to this festival. Do you know that? I mean, is that something as you guys is planning? You're like, oh, we know that this is going to attract a lot of singles, so let's program for that?
It's never been like planned. It's just something that has happened.
Let's admit it. You're the Chuck Woolery of the Catholic Church. Come on. Is it true that it was that thing? Did you ever?
Yeah, I know it. I know it to be. I mean, a lot of people will come, and Catholics and non-Catholics alike will go to Block Party with the idea that this is a place to mingle, if you will.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just seeing music. Yeah.
There's plenty of people. There's a lot of folks who are in the pews today. They met at the Block Party. I have folks all the time that come and they're planning weddings. And I said, the first question, where'd you meet? Well, we actually met at the world's largest Block Party. Good. It's a good thing.
Right. But in the case of you questioning about whether you're going to come back to the show, you're right on the fence right now, aren't you? Really? What's your favorite part about the Block Party? Because what do you do during the day? You just wander around and see people and shake hands?
Pretty much.
What's kind of a fun thing?
Exactly. It is. It's great. You're meeting people from all over the place, and they love coming down there. They love being on the block. They love being in the shadows of Chicago's oldest church. So folks come and have a good time.
You know, growing up in a Methodist church, we always had cakewalks.
Cakewalks?
You know what a cakewalk is?
I knew you were a cake eater, but I didn't know you're...
No, I'm not a cake eater, actually, what? Mr. Wise Guy. But
he is.
but cakewalk is it's like it's like musical chairs for cakes. When the music stops, the last person out is no longer in, and you don't get the cake. Am I describing that fairly, Sandberg? Does that make sense?
You are, absolutely. And it would be, a lot of times, it would be cake on, like, styrofoam plates. It was very, now that you say it out loud, I'm thinking that it's not that sanitary.
It's really odd.
Because I can remember the gym at St. Joe's, them being on the floor.
Ugh.
Like in the
because you would get in a circle or in a chair. Yeah, it's much healthier though than potato salad Jenga.
Right,
where you leave the potato salad outside and you stack it.
And then sometimes there'd be like a little pushing and shoving if somebody wanted, you know, like Mrs. Alamo's bundt cake, and you're in front of the Rice Krispie treat or something.
Yeah,
so
yeah. But
we used to do cake walks.
That's not a Catholic thing, huh?
I never heard that one. No,
well,
that's
we were Catholic. It was at
your place.
Yeah, cake walker.
Yeah,
But we also didn't have singles events, so.
Did you skip that day at school, Father Tom?
I must have missed that one. But I slept through that at the seminary.
But the funds from the Black Party go to?
Continuing to do our mission at Old St. Pat's. It goes towards our social outreach efforts and just the overall operation of Chicago's oldest church.
All right. A serious question.
Sir.
What is the shape of the Catholic Church in 2018? Because I love this pope. I think this pope is tremendous.
This guy's terrific.
He's phenomenal. He seems like he's got a heart bigger than Secretariat, and I think he has reached out to a part of the population that has gone away. But I still get concerned about the number of priests coming into the faith and the supply line, if you will. So what's the shape of the church in 2018?
That's a big concern. The number of priests is certainly a concern for us. The overall, I think in many ways the church is great. It's alive. It's a living organism, and we've got good things that are happening, but clearly, oftentimes we're in the headwind of a culture that sometimes doesn't want to embrace perhaps the gospel message.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because Central and South America and Africa are incredibly strong when it comes to the Catholic faith.
True.
Is it cynicism that's causing a crisis in faith in this country when it comes to politics and other things?
I think it's probably a whole chemistry of things. I think it's the culture. I think it's you're right. I think it's cynicism. I think it's people don't tell me what to do, and I don't think that's not how the church operates. You know, I think it's more how do we continue to challenge hearts and how do we continue to do the basic. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's just one of the basics.
Well, and it's a concern for I think for all of us, regardless of whether or not you're Catholic. At a time where we need more faith than ever, people maybe are going away. So we want you to get, I've said it a million times, I don't care who your God is, get closer to your God, get closer to your faith, get closer to what you believe in.
I think it's about the holy, yeah. How do we continue to honor and celebrate the holy in one another?
All right, now that we fix that world problem, we'll come back and ask you questions from the listeners.
No problem.
Right.
I'm ready.
You say that now, you haven't had the questions.
I'm ready.
Steve Cochran, will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio
on 720 WGN.
Tons and tons of questions. The regular Ask a Priest segment.
We have the regular, right.
Never done before till now.
Every Tuesday, starting now.
And we invite you and we urge you to remember that the world's greatest and the world's biggest block party is coming up this weekend. Friday, 5 to 10:30, and Saturday from 2 to 10:30 at Old St. Pat's. Father Tom Hurley's here. How long have you been a priest?
25 years this year.
You look good for an old guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really do. All right, here are the questions from the listeners. Can a priest have a dog?
Yes.
Is there any sort of stipulation to that?
Like what kind of dog?
Yeah, breed matters.
Not that I know of. I don't have one.
Have you known any priests with dogs?
Yes, plenty.
Who walks the dog? Is it one of the kids?
I don't know. I don't have one.
You're not a dog guy necessarily?
No, I like them. They're nice, but I can't say that I'd have the time to do it.
Yeah, well, that's
care
true.
Of them.
Yeah. Do we know the exact date Jesus was born? The day he died is a complicated formula. Is it similar for the day he was born?
Correct. Yes, it is complicated. We don't have a specific date, so
historians disagree.
I don't know if anybody really disagrees. Nobody really knows. So that's the way we came up with Christmas was through the kind of a pagan celebration of the feast of the unconquered sun. So just as the right? The winter solstice is around December 21st,
25th. I love that you're asking
25th.
Me, right?
Well, no. Come on.
Because, by the way, I'm good with December 25th. It works for me.
Yeah, it works for you. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's when the sun comes back, right?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Let me pull up the Wikipedia on Christmas.
Yeah, because if Wikipedia can solve this, we're good to go. This is interesting.
I'm giving you legit info.
Could you ask the Father how often they can serve Mass? We have 7 Masses at our church with 6 priests, so every week we need to have a visiting priest come in and serve one of the Masses. Is that traditional?
Well, it is, but that's kind of crazy. They have 7 Masses and 6 priests that come in?
Yes. So apparently they have 6 priests working in regards to being connected to this church.
I thought we had a priest shortage.
Not at this church.
Yeah, apparently not.
That's where
this church
is
doing just fine.
My church just lost its priest. We could use one.
So swing by.
Yeah.
You're on Rent-A-Priest. Is there a rule as to how many masses you could do?
I think according to canon law, church law, I think they say we should do two. And if you have to do more than that, then maybe seek permission. But
I
told you off the radio that I have three weddings every Saturday in June. I mean, I'm not calling asking for permission. We're just going to do it.
Right, because blessing these couples and
exactly.
Three weddings. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Yeah. And those are full wedding masses?
For the most part, yeah.
Mm.
Some are just services, especially if there's a lot of interfaith weddings.
You work off a prompter or you know the thing pretty well?
I got it down.
Which do you prefer? Do you prefer the shorter version or the longer version?
Oh, come on now. I prefer the fullness of the celebration for the
even
couple.
Even on a hot June day, you're like, let's just go ahead and do the 15-minute version.
Oh, so you're testing his staff.
Yeah, checking it out. He may not like to do the long one. I don't like doing long division. I like short division, right?
Yeah, but that's why you're not a priest.
or a mathematician.
This is an interesting question. My son has autism. He's going to receive his first communion next spring. Which is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Is it okay to use altar bread purchased from a Catholic supply store so we can practice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be a good thing to do. It's not blessed. It's not consecrated. And you're helping a young man that needs a little more assistance.
Which is a wonderful thing. You want to bless this studio? Would you bless our new place? Would you be willing to do
it? Well, I can bless the studio, yes. And then the exorcism right afterwards, right?
Yeah. Well, that depends on the show.
It is morning. It is morning drive, so short version. Can we
what do we need to do? What's our participation in this?
Nothing. You can just good. You really want me to bless
the studio?
I'd love
it if you would. Yes.
Almighty God, we do ask you to bless the studio here at WGN and bless Justin and Steve and Dave and all those who are part of this this production, not only now but all throughout the hours, and may these voices continue to be voices that bring joy and humor to life and also bring wisdom and bless all that goes on here. May we continue to be extensions of your word and of your love in the world. Amen.
Very nice. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. Very no nice. Charge. No charge.
Can you bless us every morning before the show?
Well, it would be nice.
That is
man,
a power
we
radio.
We need that. That was
very
unbelievable.
Nice. First,
we need a show chaplain. That would be nice.
I'd be happy to. You know, I am a chaplain, actually, for Wintrust and Wintrust. You know, with the business hour.
Yeah, right.
Ed Wehmer is my boss.
Is that right?
It's not really the Cardinal. It's Ed Wehmer.
Is there a reason you're plugging Grzanich and Bertrand now?
I'm the chaplain for Wintrust Bank.
I'm sure that's a busy part of your life as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Father, please forgive me. I've been embezzling. You don't have those, I hope. No. We love Wintrust. By the way, Wintrust is one of the great partners, corporate partners in this city. They do wonderful things all the time.
They're great. They're great with the block party, too.
Big partners there, big help.
Sponsors, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Wintrust, for that.
Yep.
Old St. Pat's, it's this weekend, Friday night, 5 to 10:30, Saturday, 2 till 10:30. World's largest block party. You got a website you want to send people to?
OldSt.Pat's.org. And
world's largest block party.com.
World's largest block party.com, all jammed together.
There you go.
World's largest block party.com. It's not a test. Father Tom, it's great to see you. I wish you'd come over more often, but you normally don't take my call.
Thanks.
So, great to see you. Thank you,
guys.
Okay, what are we doing? Are we taking a break? Nope, we're straight to the news. Okay, well, let me say hi to CLTV first. Father, if you wave just generally in the air, the folks from CLTV will pick you up on camera. There you
really?
Go.
Really?
Yes.
This is really funky.
Yes, it is.
I'm just waving to nothing.
No, you're waving to the CLTV audience. And you can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to this show every morning at 7:20. Not only will we update you, we'll also give you a chance to win Blackhawks passes and other great prizes.
Back with more shenanigans on the Steve Cochran Show.
Our country is respected again all over the world.
Brother, please.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
Nothing like hearing a skinny white girl from Jersey go, brother, please. Brother, please. It is 9:12. We're live on CLTV on 720 WGN. And from the brand new studios of 720 WGN at 303 East Wacker, the two bald guys on TV, that's Justin Kaufman and Steve Cochran. And the guy with hair is Dave Ennett. The lovely, talented female with hair is Mary Vandeveld. And the other guy with hair is Steve Grzanich. It's pretty much how I grade things around here.
I was going to say, you're very obsessed with hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I remember mine. You know, we got a text this morning from somebody, and I won't go so far as to breaks my heart, but it always bothers me when I see an assumption about this city, which I know not to be true, and I know it hurts all of us because that assumption comes from a glut of reporting of bad news and a lack of reporting of truthful news about what goes on every day. Now, with all due respect to my brothers and sisters, there is no way to do 30 minutes of good news and have it pay the bills. It just doesn't work that way. But I'm going to share this text with you. And then we've got time for a couple of calls, maybe at 312-981-7200. And here's who I'd like to hear from. If you legitimately are afraid to come to the city of Chicago as a tourist, as a visitor, as somebody that lives here, who's got family coming in for the summer, I'd love to talk you out of it. I'd love to just have an opportunity to explain to you why you're much safer than you think you are. Here's the text. I really want to bring my granddaughter. She's 17 years old. She's very pretty. I want to bring her back home to do the things I used to do when I was her age, but I'm worried about her, and I'm worried about me. I want to hit Michigan Avenue, go shopping, spend a few days with the favorite museums, and, of course, walk along the lakefront. You know what? I'm now afraid to do that. I'm fearful that with the violence in the city, we could easily become victims of crime, and that's disturbing. I've got a smart mouth, and I survived my teenage years, and I would give trash talk right back to him when these hoods try to approach me as a young lady. And it was fine. They'd move on. They'd leave me alone. I stood up to them as I was taught to do. And by mere instinct, sassed them away from me. It's not that way anymore. Too many have guns. And if in a group, have an attitude and actions of pummeling on people like me. By the way, I'm fully connected to all of the legitimate news media. Now, this is a well-spoken woman who is addressing her fears directly. And Justin, explain what you responded to her.
I think there's a little sensational news, of course. So obviously, as you just said, if it bleeds, it leads. That's a big part of our news organization. But for someone who just spent Saturday downtown, I just came down here to bring some stuff down to on Columbus, and you look out over the Chicago River, obviously most tourists have not gotten that memo, because the lakefront, the packed Michigan Avenue area, everywhere, even in the oppressive heat that was this weekend, was packed. And I'm sure if you went down and talked to the boat cruises and the architectural tours, they would tell you the same thing, that the numbers haven't changed. That being said, I mean, a lot of the stories to talk about wild and kids, or to talk about the fact that gun violence is extreme and it's run rampant, it's just not true.
Sandberg and Mary Vanneveld, I'd love to have you jump in on this as well. As a woman, are you concerned about your safety on Michigan Avenue?
I'm not concerned about mine personally. My sister lives at Chicago and Wabash, which is a block off of Michigan Avenue, mm-hmm. Right there by Water Tower. And those mobs of kids that get off the L
wilding. Yeah.
When she walks her dog, it's scary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not because she thinks she's targeted as a woman by any means. They're coming up to everybody. You know, they walk in a big mass of people, and they are intimidating. So that's so she avoids going out at that time because of that. And then I know our 14-year-old, my 14-year-old stepdaughter, she and her friends, they're very into coming to the city. And we are scared all the time, as opposed if she just said they were going to downtown Highland Park, we would feel better. Right.
But are you afraid because it's typical parent protection? Are you afraid because you bought into it? Or are you afraid because you think legitimately you should be afraid?
A combination. I would say, not because I'm not all that worried about a random shooting, that could happen anywhere, and that's not just city related. That isn't my number one concern, but those, whatever those are, what do they call those? Flash mobs of people that are intimidating people and pushing people over and whatever. Those are the ones I'm scared about.
And it's not new, though, Steve. I remember for a fact doing a story on this 10, 12 years ago, that every summer kids come down. And it's not just kids. I mean, the news loves to sensationalize. Like I said, they make it seem like it's criminals and thugs that are coming to the Chicago L-stop. There are a lot of kids coming from all sorts of places, from Metro to the Water Tower area, and Michigan Avenue is a magnet for teenagers. And it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is or your socioeconomic background. Everyone's coming down there. It's where teenagers go to be teenagers and mess around. Now, you do get into situations where you have these packs of kids that go kind of walking around looking for trouble, not unlike I did when I was 17 years old, kind of looking for trouble. It obviously has changed in 2018, but it's not a new story. It's one that has happened in the city of Chicago since my dad was hanging out at the Rocks at Belmont.
And these are unfortunate distinctions, but there's a difference between kids looking to tough it out and to be tough on Michigan Avenue and kids carrying guns. And the superintendent sat in this studio on his last visit and talked about his absolute priority in regards to carjackings and these kids on Michigan Avenue. I've seen more cops on Michigan Avenue in the last 5 years than I ever saw before. And I'm not trying to, you know, tell you that this city's perfect. It's far from it. But the majority of the violence is still centralized in some very difficult neighborhoods on the far west side, where people are just like you, just trying to live their life. And they're dealing with the real hell, as opposed to folks on Michigan Avenue or folks on State Street. Dave?
I was downtown on Saturday evening. I was walking on Michigan Avenue. Felt perfectly safe. There were a lot of tourists around. Just like you would, you have to be
in New York.
Aware, you have to be
right.
Very much like New
Philadelphia.
York,
Philadelphia,
and you have to be aware of your surroundings wherever you are, and you have to obviously if you see trouble, you want to steer clear of it or notify someone if something's happening. But I didn't feel at all threatened walking on Michigan Avenue on a crowded Saturday night.
Right.
My dad told me this story on Sunday when we went to the Sox game. They were down in their condos not too far from the studio. And they were watching on Channel 11. They had the Navy Pier special that was like the history of Navy Pier. And my mom said to my dad, "That's three blocks away. Why are we watching on TV? Let's go see what they've done."
Yeah, exactly.
So at 9 o'clock at night, my parents, in their 70s, walked from Michigan Avenue to Navy Pier and dark, took the Ohio ramp underneath that, all the stuff that we've been talking about. No problems. And they strolled down Navy Pier, and they had a great time looking at the architecture of Navy Pier and back to their house with no problem.
Mary Vandeville.
Well, yeah. I mean, as a woman, a suburbanite who, you know, I do work downtown and I work here, but I can understand this person's concern about bringing people. I mean, teenagers are never afraid. They're not afraid of anything. You know, they should be, but it's the parents that are afraid for the teenagers, definitely. But, you know, as far as coming down to Michigan Avenue, you just have to, like Dave said, you have to be aware, and everybody's on their phones. I think people have to put their phones down and look around while they're walking and see what's going on. And, you know, don't carry your purse loosely by you. It's the same rule it's always been.
And again, it's the same. It's the same in New York. It's the same in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's the same in suburbs
in
some cases as well these days.
And all over.
But suburbanites are a little leery of that, and tourists aren't as much, I don't think. I mean,
Steve
Grzanich, countries.
You live in a neighborhood where you say it's changed over the past few years. Do you feel less safe than before?
I do. I live in Uptown, and I've lived there for almost 21 years now, and I feel like there have been more street shootings. And
really?
Again, these are gang shootings, so it's not like the
random, and they've come to just around your corner,
they've
right?
come to my in front of my house on numerous occasions. This is a weekly, sometimes twice weekly occurrence in my neighborhood, and I've changed my habits because of it. So when I get up in the morning and have to walk my dog before work, we do it very quickly in a confined area. We don't do a full walk anymore. And you know, when I go out in the evening with him, I look around because we had a lot of shootings in the evening as well.
I think that's a great point, Steve, because you're talking about Michigan Avenue and the police presence on Michigan Avenue and what they're doing to protect people down here. But the big issue in the city of Chicago right now, it's for a different conversation, is about the haves and the have-nots and how downtown is important to the city of Chicago, and the neighborhoods feel in some cases that they're not. And Uptown is a good example of a neighborhood that has had its ups and downs when it comes to crime over the last five decades, and it's getting worse as opposed to getting better.
The textures amongst those chiming in are talking about dangers in the burbs and how Great America has become a great concern. These kids wandering around Great America causing problems. You got to have your head up everywhere, but you can't walk out of your house and assume that you're going to get mugged or assume that you're going to get smacked or certainly assume that you're going to get shot. There's almost 3 million people in the city of Chicago, and they're not all nice people, but the majority of them are. And one of the ugliest incidents I ever had in this city in 25 years was with a tourist in a three-piece suit from Miami who I accidentally bumped into on the street. And like a couple of idiot guys, we almost ended up in a middle-aged fistfight. So it can happen anywhere. and it can happen with anybody. But if you have the notion that you're in trouble when the minute you leave your house, you're never going to leave your house.
Right, right. I think Mary Vandeveld has done a good thing, too. And I see so many people walking around with stuff on their heads and on their phones and headphones.
It's a great point.
You can't do that. You've got to be aware of your surroundings. And I think people will target people who are not paying attention. Those are the targets that these nuts go after.
You know, that listener in that text chain to you, she mentioned she was raised to speak up for herself and be a smart mouth, whatever. Yeah. But she's concerned about her 17-year-old granddaughter. I know I was not raised to be a super tough girl. My dad grew up in the city, and so did my mom. Like, I wasn't raised to protect myself that way, in a tough way, and I'm certainly not instilling that in my stepdaughter. It's just we raised them more with a kid glove, everything is pretty darn good way. So I think the life skills, you know, might be a little different, and that's where our fear comes from, because we haven't said, hey, Catherine, this happens on every street corner, and you might need to be aware. We've done that extend her childhood thing where there really isn't that many bad things going on, which is nice in some ways, but doesn't give her any protective
I can put my dad
tools.
On loan for you, for okay. your stepdaughter. My dad can come over and teach. So you see something up the street, cross the street.
Cross the street,
right.
He can
do the whole bit. He'll do a lecture. He'll do an hour lecture if you want it.
You know, there's people who are texting and saying, I'm much safer in Chicago than I am in Rockford. Rockford does have a crime problem, but, you know, I'd say the same thing in Rockford. Pay attention to where you are. It's just smaller, and maybe the trouble's a little bit closer. But it does come down to attitude, too. We had a text or two that says, come on, you keep your windows down, and they reach in and rob you. I don't know what city you're living in. Yeah, that can happen somewhere, but that's a fallacy. It's not the case. And I'm not going to tell any of you how to live your lives, but if you miss summer in Chicago because you think that you're going to be a victim of crime the minute you cross the city line, you're missing it. The city's as beautiful as it's ever been, and welcome, and please use public transit because I don't want you to mess with my parking.
And Steve, can I just add one thing about living? I told you that I had changed my routine, and I've lived in that neighborhood, as I said, for more than 20 years. I wouldn't consider moving at all.
See?
I love my neighborhood.
It's your life. Right? Yeah. It's your life. You're not going to leave because of the trouble outside. And by the way, the police want to help with the trouble outside. And the mayor is trying to pump up the police. You talked about that off the air. Mm-hmm. A couple extra cops on every block makes a world of difference as well.
Yeah, if you go to Michigan Avenue, there is a definite police presence for the Mag Mile portion.
One call and then we'll break. It's is it Jackson or Frank? I can't tell.
Good morning. This is Frank from the South Side.
Frank,
I wanted
how
to
are
chime
you?
In on the conversation.
Yeah, Frank, go ahead.
How's everything?
Good, man. How are you?
All right. I am good. I grew up here in Chicago. My father was in the United States Marine Corps, and I've lived on the South Side all 38 years of my life. What you all are speaking of is very true. You must be aware. Now, I work in a suburb called LaGrange, and I have to travel and come home late every night, about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Before I make a move out of the vehicle, I look around.
Sure.
I look to the left, to the right, and to the right, the front and the back. And before I make a move out of the vehicle, I have my keys ready. But you are right. If you have this mentality that you will be robbed the minute you cross the city line, you will stop living. And that's not the way to go. So I just wanted to chime in and say you are absolutely correct.
Thanks.
Well, I appreciate
there is
listening.
Trouble everywhere, and you must be aware of what goes on around you, not just here, but everywhere.
Yeah, from LaGrange to the city, from Naperville to Lake Forest, wherever you are. All right, let's do this. 9:26, we're back in a moment. Headlines coming up.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
9:29, headlines in just a minute. Justin Kaufman here. Coming up, Orion Samuelson's going to join us. Also, I want to let people know that we did our first episode of the Download podcast, the Download, which aired here on 720 WGN.
I remember that show.
Yeah, right. We're nostalgic already. We did our first podcast yesterday, and I wanted to let people know that we're continuing to do work with that name, of course, Pete Zimmerman and I, and direct people to it. It's at WGNradio.com. It's probably the best place to get it. We had a chance to interview Sam Richardson. Sam Richardson is a former Second City star who is the star of Detroiters on Comedy Central, a great show that's heading into season two starting tomorrow. And also, he's the star of HBO's Veep. He plays Richard Splett, star turn on that program. And also in movies and other television programs as well. We got a little clip real quick of the conversation because he's from Chicago. He did a bunch of stuff in Chicago. He's actually from Detroit. He grew up there with his writing partner and comedy partner, Tim Robinson. But they came to Chicago. They were on the main stage at Second City. And I asked him both about working with Tim in the city of Detroit, but also about his time in Chicago at Second City. Take a listen.
I think the whole filter of the show is really through, like, love. So that's the main thing. Like, we love each other. We love the city. If you play that well enough, it'll be accessible. And, like, we also used to spend every, like, waking moment together, because when we were at Second City in Chicago, we were on the main stage. And so we would, on Tuesdays through Sundays, be doing 8 shows a week at Second City. And then Mondays, we just go hang out all day. So, like, spending time together was never one of our, like, it's never a fault to us because we were so used to doing that. But then, like, also doing that through comedy, we also kind of have had experience making our comedy relatable to an audience.
Yeah, we talk with Sam about the experience of writing and performing on Veep, also Detroiters and all the local references, and a little bit more about his time at Second City. You can find that interview at WGNradio.com and subscribe to the Download podcast, which can be found at iTunes or other platforms as well. We'll take a break coming up. The headlines, stay with us.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a firewife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
It's 9:43, and the great Orion Samuelson standing by. Are we in the West Coast offices today?
Nope, we are in the studio in Huntley, Illinois, where it's thundering and lightning and raining.
Oh. Boy, the rain and the weather north last night was unbelievable.
It really was. Yeah, we got heavy showers, heavy thunderstorms. Haven't gone out to see if there's any flooding in our part of the northwest suburbs, but I know a lot of suburbs like Rockford were hit by flash flooding last night. So,
Dave, did you get anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got, and I was...
Dave's in the northern burbs.
And I was golfing
at 11 or 12 last
Barrington.
Night?
Oh, no, but this night was golfing. Around... Yes. Yeah, I like that. The twilight, really late twilight golf.
It's a great rate.
Yeah, and you do. You get on cheap. But it was... I mean, I'll tell you something. This would have been about 6 o'clock. It poured. But then driving home, it got quite a bit of rain, and I get a lot of standing water along the roads.
Now, you live, as we've established, Orion, I think you know this, Dave lives on a nature preserve. Yes. And I would think, since it's not a main road, that you would be prone to flooding in that area, are you?
No. Thankfully, not on a floodplain.
Okay. So do you find otters in your backyard appreciate that?
Yeah, they tend to migrate more towards a body of water.
Speaking of migration, you know what I've got in my backyard? There's an area in my backyard where there's four houses. It's like the four corners. There's four houses that share a boundary, and there's a low spot there where there's some water that collects whenever it rains. And I got a family of ducks living there. There's no pond anywhere nearby. There's water on a nearby golf course. That's about it. And these ducks are right at home in my backyard. And by the way, one of them likes to sit on the roof of the house next door.
He's a flyer?
I got a picture of a duck on the top of the roof of this three-story house.
It must have been very high water because for a duck to go up to the roof.
Either that or the duck is nuts.
Orion, I got a question for you. With this, the weather we've had in the last couple of days, to go from just oppressive heat to the rain, the dumping rain last night, to now very cool temperatures, does that wreak havoc on agriculture? Is that something that you have to watch out for?
No, it really doesn't, because there's a long time saying in the grain market at the Board of Trade, rain makes grain. And if you have your choice, rain is much better than dry weather. But I can't remember when we've seen the ratings for crop conditions as high at this time of the year as they currently are, because yesterday the Department of Agriculture rated 78% of the corn crop good to excellent. And that rating is among the highest for this point in the growing season in USDA records that date back to the mid-80s. 73% of the soybean crop good to excellent. And winter wheat harvest, about 27% complete. There's an interesting thing going on every year about this time in the Central Plains and the Southern Plains, which is winter wheat country. The combines start moving from Texas, Oklahoma, and when they finish the season, they will be in Saskatchewan, Canada. But from week to week, depending on the ripening of the wheat crop, they just continue to load up the combines on the trucks, load up the drivers and the people, and they make this migration from the south to the north. It's fascinating. I mean, it's a vagabond life during the wheat harvest season.
You have spoken of the dangers of a trade war and how nobody wins. The president threatening another 10% on Chinese goods. What's this going to mean for the farms?
Well, we're seeing the impact this morning. Soybeans have been down as much as 50 cents a bushel. Corn down, wheat also trading lower. Trade wars are never good, you know. But you know, it's not just the United States; it's China. China's doing the same thing, and continuing to put items on the list for retaliation. And both countries are acting like kids in the play yard, because they just keep, okay, you're going to put tariffs on this product, we'll put tariffs on this product. And somehow we've got to get that trade imbalance with China lower than it is. And right now, I don't know how we do that.
I don't know how you do it without negotiations. And, you know, trade wars aren't a negotiation. And I think it's what you said. Both kids have to get in a room and act like grown-ups.
Absolutely. And so far they haven't. And I know President Trump gets hit a lot on that, but he's not alone. President of China is doing the same thing. And, you know, we're into a minor spat with Canada. That will go away because we need each other. And but I think the China-U.S. thing will go away eventually, because I think China needs us more than we need them. Not by much, but they are looking at a population that continues to grow, and they're looking at soybeans, which is a major commodity in China. They use it for their cooking oil and for their livestock feed, the crushing and all that sort of thing. And pork is another thing. China is the biggest producer of hogs in the world. China is the biggest consumer of pork in the world. And it's such a part of the diet of the people, and the population keeps growing. But trade wars, you can never, ever win on either side.
Yeah, look, I've said it before, regardless of what I think or have said about President Trump, he's not wrong about trade imbalances. It's the method to the madness to get it right. Texter says, please tell Orion here in McHenry County, yesterday's rain was so strong it knocked over the wheat in the farmer's field. Does that make it impossible for them to harvest?
No, because we do have equipment now that if wheat or soybeans or corn are flattened by wind or heavy rains, we have gadgets we put on the front of the combine that will not pick all of it up, but it'll get it up to run it through the combine. And, of course, combine is one of the miraculous machines that have been developed in agriculture. With corn, for example, we can now run soybean or corn that will take 36 rows at a time and one swath around the field. And the thing about it is that machine takes the ear off the stalk, kicks the stalk out the back end, but then it takes the kernels of corn off each ear that goes through the machine. We used to do all of that by hand. I did it as a kid on the farm. We'd husk corn, and we'd do what we call snap corn, where we would physically separate the ear from the stalk. And you had to do that with each stalk. So,
watch the markets today, kids. Beginning of what could be a major correction. Are we in a major correction, or is it all going to go away again? Elon Musk, Jim Mellon, major investor, they're all saying things are going to get ugly and stay that way for a bit in what might well be the most overvalued market in American history. So keep an eye on that. And, oh, thank you as always.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Big O. And we're back with Bill and Wendy in a few on 720 WGM. ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details. Beat summer's high gas prices. Chevy Equinox. It's all about the drive. ChevyDriveChicago.com. Do it
back
today.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know, you can argue all day about the merits of our immigration policy or our lack of one or who should do what and when they should do it. Obviously, we should have an immigration policy.
That's what America's doing right now.
An immigration policy that allows for legal and appropriate and timely immigration, that allows for people who have studied to remain in this country if they choose to do so for the benefit of all of us. However, there is no win, no upside, and no right in separating parents from their children, which is happening today. It'll happen tomorrow, and it'll happen the next day. This is not a bipartisan thing. This is not protection for the Democrats who have screwed up immigration royally. This is a Donald Trump policy, and he could end it today. And you remember Walter Cronkite in the 60s, Dave, when I was just a kid and you were in your 30s. Walter Cronkite said something about Vietnam and the BS that Lyndon Johnson was pushing. Right. And Lyndon Johnson famously said in the Oval Office, "I've lost Cronkite." The idea being, if you lost Cronkite, you lost the country.
Yep.
What happens if Donald Trump loses Fox? There's a lineup of Fox personalities that are now teetering on the edge. Judge Andrew Napolitano, speaking of this policy on Fox just yesterday, listen.
I think the administration is motivated by the president's skills at negotiating. And I think he's trying to use children to turn up the heat on the negotiators. Of course, they have the discretion not to do this. In my opinion, it is child abuse to separate children from their parents unless it's necessary to save a human life. And that's not the case here. Mm-hmm. There's a federal statute that says you can't separate them for more than 72 hours. They know all of this. They are picking and choosing which rules they want to follow rigidly and which rules they wish weren't there.
Ask your elected reps to stop it. Ask them to stop the president from doing it. You don't need to hear a tape of babies crying and toddlers crying to know how wrong this is.
Well, it's a political calculation, one way or the other. Miscalculation, you can still, the jury's out. But the calculation to essentially do this in a way to blame the other political party for not getting a wall,
which is what's happening,
immigration policy, is a peculiar move. And the question that we'll find out in the next couple of days is how far the American public are willing to, how much we're going to let this happen, to let politics play out in Washington and how it affects people's lives.
Two-thirds of Americans in a poll say this is abhorrent and it needs to stop.
But it's still support from a Republican, still support the idea of being able, and you see this on the text line of people calling in, that they should not be crossing, illegal immigrants should not be crossing, and they should know better. So there is still a question.
Also, but let's also remember this. The idea that someone is coming in from South America and crossing through Mexico and risking their lives to come to America, that they are somehow educated and have been given the true story of what happens when they come to America.
Right, right. Or
they've been taken by coyotes, and that's a slang term for people that take their money through areas for all the money they have. And who knows what they've been told? These are not educated people on the ways of America.
And they didn't
come here going, I know I'm going to lose my kid.
We talked about it at the beginning of the show, too. Just as zero tolerance policies in government rarely work. And to watch this play out this way,
Stupid. This
is what you get when you start playing with zero tolerance policies for issues as complicated as immigration.
The great question is whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, are you going to care enough to get off your butt and go vote this fall? Because I can guarantee you the Trump supporters are. It's 9:59, and it's Bill and Harry. Good morning, Bill.
Yes. You seem surprised.
Well, I mean, Harry, it's always a surprise and a delight to see Harry Tonowitz.
Of course it is.
Yeah. We go way back.
Yeah, we do. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm very wonderful. Good to see all you guys.
Good to see you, buddy.
Hi, Harry.
Dave, how are you?
My new goal, Steve, is to bring in people from your past to co-host with me.
That'd be great.
Mr. Henderson, your second grade teacher's coming in tomorrow. That's going to be fun.
Imagine if you could get Kevin Matheny, but that's probably a long shot at this point.
You'll be surprised on Thursday. Yeah.
Well, I'm thrilled and delighted to see both of you, in the words of the great Mel Brooks. What are you doing today?
A little bit of this and a little bit of that, Steve, including...
Which goes first, this or that?
We're going to start out with this, and then the second hour we'll do a little bit of that.
Understandable.
There is a new addiction to look out for, something you wouldn't expect your kid could fall prey to, but it's happening more and more, and we'll discuss
dangerous?
That.
Hey,
I think it is dangerous.
Can you believe I brought in an addiction story?
It's hard to believe addiction and Harry would go together on any level.
How many Snapples do you have there, Harry?
It's just two.
It's a two Snapple day.
I'm driving.
Yeah, that's right. You got to be careful. All right, kids. We'll see you tomorrow.